Well, we've been talking about these seven beautiful aspects of grace, and today we come to a really great one. It's particularly from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which talks about finding grace at the throne of grace. Here's the whole verse. Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And what you see there in yellow, we're talking about the throne of grace. And finding grace, all of that in one, you know, encapsulated thought. And it's very wonderful for us to deal with this. So I think you're going to enjoy the meditation today as we look at these things. We've talked about a handful of these seven facets already. In the first place, the grace that makes the believer forever attractive to God. That is, that makes him accepted in the beloved. That's beautiful. And we talked about the grace that we believers extend to other people. That's beautiful. We've talked about the grace that enables the believers to accomplish things in life, and that's beautiful. Last week, we talked about the grace that makes the Christian life relational and romantic, and I really love that. That's beautiful. And today, we're going to talk about this, the grace we find at the throne of grace, and that's really a beautiful thing. We've said that grace has a lot of different definitions, connotations in the New Testament. We have said it is especially undeserved kindness. But also, it has the idea of favor. Favor that is shown when the Lord rescues us. Favor that the Lord places upon us. And the gift itself of the rescue. And so, that's a grace. When the Lord answers our prayer, that's a grace. And we've said that the grace is both the gift and the motivation. We talk about, I have received a very nice grace from the Lord. We mean the gift. But it's also grace that motivates the gift. And so, grace is throughout the New Testament. So today, two big ideas in finding grace at the throne of grace. The first thing is that it's kind of a big deal to deal with this phrase, to find grace. Whatever that means, it must be very important, to find grace. And so let's talk about the importance of that. And then we're going to talk about many essential graces that can only be acquired if we pray for them. In other words, there are going to be graces that you could have had that you did not get because you didn't pray for them. So it's a pretty big deal, these graces that come to us at the throne of grace. By the way, the very idea of finding grace, which is what we're starting with today, is so important. We want you to know that grace is undeserved kindness or unmerited favor. But that doesn't mean, just because it's undeserved, that it is also unprompted, uninfluenced, or unsolicited. We're saying there's something you can do, even though it is not earned. There is something you can do to acquire grace. That's why it's called finding grace. There's something you can do to acquire this grace. You have to find it. And if you don't look for it and you don't find it, it's going to make a big difference in your life. So we're talking about finding grace. That's a really big deal. It's also really important to notice that this is all coming from the book of Hebrews. So remember, therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 is our key text. Whenever you're reading in the book of Hebrews, as the name implies, Hebrews, this is a very Jewish book. Very, very Jewish book. And so even this idea of finding grace, you're looking at a New Testament book, Hebrews, but this is really a very, very Old Testament idea. And so I'm going to review that with you. In the Old Testament, we find the idea of finding grace many, many times. So, for example, in Genesis 6, verse 7, finding grace in Noah's case meant that he was going to find favor from the Lord to be rescued from the flood. So, Genesis 6, 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There it is, finding grace. That's what we're talking about today. Noah found grace. The Lord said, you know what, Noah, I am going to make you a target of my favor. I am sending favors to you. You're the target. You're the object. I have felt compassion, favor for you. So I'm going to send you grace. Noah found grace. And of course, he didn't die in the flood. That's what we need. We're going to go to the throne of grace. And we're going to hope to find the Lord's favor. We want the Lord to target us with his favor. And so we go to him and say, Lord, please make me a target, an object of your favor. Let me find favor with you. A wonderful example of that occurred in China with missionary Marie Monson, and she was there in the very early 1900s. And there was an instance when their city, where the mission compound was located, their city was under attack by the Chinese soldiers. And what had happened is, and you know, the Chinese government was in disarray, and the soldiers were going to mutiny against their own commander because they had not been paid. So the general worked it out with his soldiers that they could loot the city one night. Said, I don't have money, but I will allow you to go into the city, enter all the homes, and take anything you want from these homes. And that will be your money. That will be your pay. And so the Chinese government was such a mess that that's the way it turned out. So by 8 o'clock at night, all of a sudden in the city, there are these, you know, soldiers coming to the doors, the gates of the courtyards and the doors of the houses, taking the butt ends of their rifles and bashing at the door. So you have to open it, yelling, bashing at the door. You have to open it. They walk in and take all your stuff. And they were doing that from house to house. But they didn't come into the missionary compound, which had, you know, gates around the courtyard and then doors in the house. They didn't come. Next day, and so they looted all night long. In the morning, they were gone. Next day, the neighbors came and they said, if anything like this ever happens again, can we come into your mission compound and stay with you? And they said, we want to do that because we saw your protectors. And so Marie and the other missionaries there in the compound, they say, well, who do you think these protectors were? They say, well, we saw at each gable end of the house, at each end, there were soldiers and one in the middle looking all around. Well, where do you think they come from? And they said, well, we thought they were soldiers that the general had sent to protect you. And Marie says, well, did they look like the general's soldiers? I said, no, they were taller than any soldiers we're used to seeing. Well, could you see their faces? Say, yeah, well, we could see their faces best of all because they're like shining. And they said, did they look like Chinese soldiers? They said, no, they look like foreigners. And the conclusion was, I mean, the only conclusion they could come to was that the Lord sent special protection, evidently angel protection. The missionaries were praying for grace. They heard that the soldiers were going to be coming through looting. They prayed for grace. And they found favor. The Lord decided to make them targets of His special favor, of His special benefits that night. And so the mission compound was left alone. Finding grace at the throne of grace, a pretty big idea in the Old Testament. Genesis 47, again, verse 25. This is when Joseph has been made ruler in Egypt. And he has to work everything out so that the Egyptian people basically don't starve to death. So what had happened in the first place is they needed food. The Egyptian people needed food. Joseph had been storing food. And so he said, give me your money. I'll give you food. Pretty soon the Egyptians' money was spent. They had no more money. And Joseph said, well, give Pharaoh your herds, your cattle, and we'll give you food. And pretty soon their cattle was gone. So Joseph said, well, so now give the title to your property over to Pharaoh, and I'll give you food on the basis of that. And because of that, the Egyptian people did not starve to death in the famine. And so the Egyptians, talking to Joseph, said, you have saved our lives. Let us find grace in your sight. You know, let us sign over our property to Pharaoh, and we'll live, and we'll be Pharaoh's servants. That's what we'll do. So you see, we're talking about financial help. We can't get by. You have food. We have nothing. So let's work it out. And they found favor in Joseph's sight and they have financial help. Well, we have to do that. Just after World War II, a young widow with children who had lost her husband in the war needed groceries. It was time for Christmas dinner and there were no groceries to have Christmas dinner. So with her hat in her hand, so to speak, she went to the grocery store and talked to the owner and asked if he would give her groceries on credit. And he was not a believer, and he also was not a very charitable person, not a generous person. And he said to her, no, I will not extend credit because I don't believe you'll be able to pay it. And she said, well, I've been praying that the Lord would make you generous. And look, I wrote this prayer in the middle of the night hoping that the Lord would give us groceries. And he was kind of a wise guy, and in cruel mockery, he said, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take your little prayer note, and we'll put it on my balance scales. He had some old balance scales, even though this is the World War II era. He used them for produce and that sort of thing. I'll put your note on the balance scale, and then we'll put groceries in, however many groceries it takes to balance the note. That's how many you can have. And he's just doing it to mock her. He doesn't care that she is suffering. So they put the prayer note on one side of the balance. He takes a loaf of bread and puts it on the other side of the balance, and it doesn't tip down. And he said, okay. So he added something, it didn't tip down. He added something else, it didn't tip down. And finally, the balance was full. And in embarrassed exasperation, he said, well, anyway, the scale won't hold anymore. So take your groceries and go. And she had tears in her eyes, and she said, thank you. And she left with the groceries. That man, it bothered him for a long time. He kept the note for years, and he showed it to everybody, and he said, I know that my scale was broken, but it wasn't broken before. And why was it broken on that particular day? And he showed everybody the note. The note said, please, dear Lord, give us this day. You know, break the scale today, essentially. So you go to the throne of grace to find grace. You're asking to become the special target of the Lord's kindness. Let me be the target of your kindness this time. And that's the way it works. It doesn't always work like that, of course. But there is, as we've talked about in previous weeks, always something fine given to the person who prays. In the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 13, this is great. This is Moses talking to the Lord. And he's telling the Lord, I want to be the special target of your kindness. Would you do something very special for me? And you know, he wants to see the Lord. Problem, of course, is that nobody can really see the Lord's glory. For one thing, you can't see all the Lord's glory because he's in front of you and behind you, and you don't have eyes in the back of your head. For another reason, the Lord's glory is always near you and beyond you. You can never see far enough away to see a God who is everywhere in space and time. So you can never see all of God's glory. And thirdly, God's radiance is so bright that if the Lord showed you as he really is, you would die. But still, he wants to see as much of the Lord's radiance as a human being is allowed to see. And so that's his prayer. Now, therefore, if I have found grace, if you will let me be the special target of your kindness, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your path, if it's a jet airplane, your condensation trail. Show me now your path, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight. See, twice. If I have found grace, show me your path so that I may find grace. I just want to be the special target of your love. Would you do that for me? And of course, the Lord did that for him. Showed his glory to Moses in a very special way. Moses became the special target of something fine that the Lord was doing that day. Harlan Popoff talks about during the Cold War years being put in prison. He was a pastor, and of course, it's against the law to preach the gospel in atheist lands. And he was captured, and he was put in solitary confinement in a basement that was dug very deep below the police station. It was probably 50 feet deep. The ground was moist. It was cold down there and absolutely pitch black. And he said he lost track of time. He tried to keep track of time as best he could, but with no light, with no senses, he couldn't tell how long he'd been down there. But he knew he'd been down there for a very, very long time. And then this weird sense of despair set in. And remember, the guards said, you will never get out of here. They were so mad at him. You will never get out of solitary. And he said he was despairing. He was in tears. And he prayed, and this is what happened. He says, then something happened, which has never happened before or since. A light glow began to shine, and a warming sensation filled the cell and enveloped my weakened, starved frame. I felt strong arms around me, cradling me in the arms of Christ himself. Overwrought with joy, with love and compassion, Christ spoke to me, saying, my son, I shall never forsake you. I know some readers will think this extreme, but Christ let me know that he had not forgotten me there huddled in the blackness of a forgotten cell. It was a moment that made all the suffering worthwhile. You go to the throne of grace and you say, Lord, I would like to be the object of your special love this time. I mean, you're always loving, but I would like to be the object of your special love. I would like to find grace. I would like to have your special favor this time. And sure enough, the Lord is eager for us to do that because he does things like this, as he did for Harlan Popoff. Now, that's very unusual. But if you ask the Lord for something, I am absolutely sure that he will give you some grace in response to your request. We're sure of that. That's why the verse exists in Hebrews. In Judges chapter 6, verse 16, this is great. This is the story of Gideon. And Gideon wants to find God's grace. The Lord said to Gideon, surely I will be with you and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. You'll take the whole crowd as if you're fighting against one man. And Gideon says to the Lord, if now I have found grace in your sight, then show me a sign. If I can request your special love, could I be a target, an object of your special favor? Could I have special consideration? Would you let me have a sign? And of course, you remember the sign of the wet fleece. And so he had his sign. And he did go forward and smite the Midianites as one man. Easy, easy battle. And so that's Gideon's story. Sometimes we just want to go to the Lord and say, could I have special consideration? Would you give me your special favor this time because I really need you? I love that song we close with in our worship package today. I need you. When I cannot stand, I will fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. I love that song. Gideon says, would you just give me special consideration? I would like to find your favor in a special circumstance. Would you give me a sign? Well, Sylvia, once again, to go back to the Cold War years. She's in Romania. She comes from a fairly large family. She's 13 years old. Her family is a Christian family, but literally everything around her is anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-supernatural. That was, again, against the law to worship as a Christian in Romania. There was some risk to this. And besides that, every day at school, she's hearing there is no God, there's no God. It's all foolishness. It's all superstition. So at 13 years old, it occurs to her that she might not believe, and maybe she should believe, but she's losing her faith. She's having a crisis of faith at 13 years old. She really needs three things. She really does. It's not just being selfish. She really needs shoes, and she really needs a sweater, and she really needs a coat because, you know, cold season is coming. And so it occurs to her that she should pray for the Lord's special favor to see if she can find favor. And she says, essentially, God, if you are real, could you show me by somehow giving me these things that I need? Shoes, a sweater, and a coat. Well, next morning she wakes up and she's on the lookout all day to see if the Lord sends shoes, sweater, coat. No news. And then next day, you know, nothing. Next day, nothing. Actually, several weeks go by. At the end of several weeks, a package comes in the post office for Sylvia's family. And it's from America. And what's so odd about that is they don't even know anybody in the United States. Same as you probably don't know anybody in Romania. So they don't know who has sent this package. So Dad brings the package home from the post office and they begin to open it up. And she's just wondering, is this what I've been praying for? And Dad pulls out a pair of shoes. And remember, she has brothers and sisters, but these are girls' shoes. And she says, they're mine. I just know they're mine. She tries them on and they fit. That's great. I mean, she's just out of her mind with joy. Next thing Dad pulls out is a gray sweater. He says, I know that's going to fit me too. And she has brothers and sisters, but the sweater doesn't fit the brothers and sisters. It's like Cinderella. The sweater fits her. And then, you know, the coat comes last. And also it fits just fine. That was just such a big impression on her 13-year-old heart. She ended up working for a Christian ministry as an adult woman. And everywhere she went, she remembers that feeling at 13 years old that God sent the shoes and the clothes that were just her size. God knows my size. Now, not every answer to prayer is that remarkable. But if you pray for God's grace, which is what he wants us to do in the book of Hebrews, let us come boldly, therefore, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. If we do that, I'm quite sure that the Lord is going to give you grace of some kind. Maybe if Sylvia hadn't gotten the shoes, the sweater, and the coat, the Lord would have sent her some different kind of grace. But when you go to the Lord and say, please let me have special consideration this time, I'm sure that the Lord is going to give you special consideration this time. That's why the verse is in Scripture. In Ruth, chapter 2, verse 10, Ruth found grace. What a great story. The whole story of Ruth is about a young lady finding grace, right? Ruth bowed herself to the ground and said to Boaz, why have I found grace in your eyes since I am a stranger? You know, why are you being so good to me? Why have you decided to have special consideration for me, to give me special favor? Why have I become the target of your compassion? Why are you doing this? You don't even know me. It's undeserved, right? Undeserved kindness. You don't even know me. I'm a stranger. Why are you doing this? And so she felt this practical compassion, which is so great. Sometimes you go to the Lord and you just say, Lord, can I just have special consideration? Not that I deserve it, right? It's undeserved kindness. I'm not saying I deserve it. I'm just saying I would like so much to have your special affection, your special attention. Would you allow me to have it? And so you go to the throne of grace to find grace. Ruth says to Boaz, why is it that I have found grace? Why do you care? But I'm so glad you do care, right? Well, Suzanne is looking out her window one day, and she sees her friend Jane walking past the house. And there's very little distance between the sidewalk and the window of Suzanne's house. And Suzanne knows that Jane has been going through a hard time because Jane has a daughter, an adult daughter, who is also a mother. And the adult daughter has been in a terrible car accident. She was in a coma for several weeks. She came out of the coma. She had traumatic brain injury, and she's doing much, much better. But still, it's so sad because even though she's much, much better, the other day, this daughter in the hospital had her own little girl come and visit her. And the adult daughter in the hospital thought that the little girl was her friend. The little girl is her daughter. So anyway, Jane is seeing all of this, and it's just heartbreaking. And she feels like she's been going through this forever. It's only been several weeks, but it's been, you know, forever, like forever in her mind. And she's walking outside by herself. And that's when Suzanne knocks on the window. Now, as Suzanne knocks, she feels pretty self-conscious about this. Like, for one thing, is it rude just to knock on the window and, you know, wave at somebody? She knocks on the window at Jane, and then she motions for Jane to come in. It's like, is this just weird? I mean, I'm a little self-conscious about this. Well, here's what was happening. When Jane came in the house, she said to Suzanne, I'm so glad you invited me in. Here's what was happening. In that moment, as she's walking by, Jane is praying this. God, how can I go on? It is too much, and I feel as if you've left me to handle this all by myself. If you love me, and if you are there for me, send someone to help me, someone that I can talk to. Please, Lord, I need someone now. And Suzanne knocked on the window and invited her in. So it's not like we deserve special consideration, but we go to the Lord and say, I would like to have special consideration. I would like to find grace. Not that you're not always gracious, because you are always gracious. But I am asking for special favor at a special time. And so the Lord does things like this. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17. This is Hannah praying for a baby, and Hannah can't have a baby, and so she's praying for a baby. Eli the priest sees her praying, actually thinks that she's impaired by drink and rebukes her, but she says, no, I'm not impaired. I am heart sick because I want to have a baby. I'm praying. And Eli says, you know, by the revelation of God given to Eli, he says, well, actually, you are going to have a baby. And so then Eli said to Hannah after this conversation, you're going to have a baby. You're going to be fine. Go in peace. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. and her appearance was no more sad. Once again, this is like favor with other people. Like Ruth finding favor with Boaz, and here Hannah finds favor with Eli. Like sometimes we just want people to cut us a break, and we're asking the Lord, would you change this person's heart toward me? Because I don't think this person is too delighted with me right now. Would you change the disposition of this person? And you go to the Lord to find grace, hoping that the Lord will work in that person's heart so that that person will have grace for you, special consideration. And that's all we can do is go to the Lord to find grace. And by the way, if we don't go to the Lord, I guess he wouldn't grant the grace, right? So J.D. is with Gary Smalley, marriage counselor, in divorce court. And J.D. has basically been bullying his wife for 28 years, long time. And she's had it. The kids are grown. They don't really need a dad at home anymore. And she's had it. And so they go to divorce court. And for the first time, it's getting real to J.D. And he's talking to Gary Smalley. And he says, my wife is trying to clean me out. She's asking for too much. And Gary says, don't just give her what she's asking for. Give her twice as much. And J.D. says, what? Give her twice as much. And Gary said, listen, the Lord's at work in your heart. He's at work in her heart. Don't worry about it. Just be generous. So he goes up to her. He says, honey, he's got the checkbook with the savings account. He says, honey, use this for you and the kids. I trust you. I know you'll use it wisely. And so he gave her everything, whatever she wants. Well, still, the divorce happened. The judge slammed down the gavel and said, divorce granted. And J.D. weeped like a baby. He finally understands the gravity of what he's been doing to his wife. But now he's listening to the Lord. And he's with counselor Gary Smalley, and he's listening to other Christian men who are saying, you can't bully this woman who lives with you all the time. Nobody's going to want that. You can't do this. And so finally, it starts to sink in. And eventually, J.D.'s wife, ex-wife, is willing to go out and talk about life with him. They have kind of a date here and there, dating. 8 months later, they go back to the same judge that granted the divorce, and they're remarried. And they really are changed. He is really changed. And her attitude, when she was first granted the divorce, it was like somebody getting out of prison. She was free. She was so happy. She said, I will never be in that situation again. Next thing you know, she's married to him again, but happily married this time. Her attitude toward J.D. changed when it looked like that would be impossible. Find grace. Lord, not that I deserve special consideration, but would you make me the target of your special affection, and would you change this person's mind toward me? Not that I deserve it, but would you change this person's mind toward me? And so the Lord has been doing that in answer to our prayers for all of these years. Finding grace, that's such a big idea. Even though all of God's graces are undeserved, some of his graces will only come to us if we diligently pursue them. Just because they're undeserved doesn't mean they're unprompted. You prompt them by what you do and what you say and what you pray. You are prompting God to send you grace. And if you decide not to do well, not to pray, not to say things that ought to be said, then you are not seeking those graces. You will not find them. And so we have a real say in how many graces come to us. You realize how important that is? If you think grace is totally passive and there's not one thing you can do about it, to either have or not have grace because it's undeserved, then you're not understanding the importance of this term, to find grace. You have some say in this. There really are many fine graces that people like you and me may or may not get, depending on whether we are going to the Lord to find grace, whether we are finding it or not. And imagine if the Lord said, now, if you would have come and asked me, I would have done this. I had it, as it were, set aside in the storehouse for you, but you didn't even come. So we didn't go to the throne of grace to find grace, and we didn't get the grace because we didn't come. And these optional graces, according to our text, come in times of need. And all I'm asking here is, when are we ever not in a time of need? We should go to the throne of grace often because there's always another need. Lord, can I have your special favor? Can I have special consideration this day? Because undoubtedly, this day is a day of special need as well. By finding grace, of course, we are mostly talking about acquiring grace through prayer. And so, more quickly through this point, but many of these essential graces can only be acquired if we pray for them. If we don't pray for them, they don't come. Grace is not so passive as perhaps you think it is. Once again, our text, Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. That idea of come, that also is very Old Testament-esque. Remember we said the book of Hebrews has so many Old Testament concepts in it, and this is another one of those. Therefore let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come. Well, it's because in the Old Testament times, the idea of coming or approaching God meant I'm coming to worship. And so it didn't always say you're coming to worship. It just said I'm going to come to you. In the book of James, which again is very Hebrew in its perspective, very Jewish in its perspective, it says draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We're coming. We're drawing near. We're getting close. That's the idea. And it doesn't say draw near to God, you know, in worship. It just says draw near to him. Well, that's very Jewish. Don't come near God. You know, that's the idea, unless you're going to come reverently. That was the idea. So, for example, in Leviticus 21, verse 17, talking about the priests. Whoever has any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. You can't go into the tabernacle or the temple, depending on the era. You can't go unless you're clean. Don't go. Don't approach. In verse 21, no man of the seed of Aaron the priest who has a blemish shall come near to offer the offerings of the Lord. You can't come close to the Lord. Don't do that. Well, you see that same idea now in Hebrews, where we are, the book of Hebrews. Look at chapter 10, verse 1 of Hebrews. For the law can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. It's a really interesting idea, right? The comers, those who come. And so that's what we're talking about now, is coming. Therefore, let us come. We don't come to the Lord now with animal sacrifices and sacrifices of produce, you know, grain offerings and drink offerings. We don't come to the Lord like that now. But we do come to the Lord in that Old Testament sense with unceasing prayer. And that's what this is talking about. So let's come and worship the Lord. We're going to come and talk to the Lord. Bring whatever it is that you bring in your worship. And for us, we tend to bring words. Two reasons for us to come boldly, because the text says, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly. Well, why can we do that? Why can we come boldly? And the first reason we can is because Christ is our merciful Savior. See, in verse 15, we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I love that. The Lord is emotional for you. Isn't that great? The Lord gets emotional about you. And there are other texts that talk about this too. Like as a father pities his children, so our God pities them that fear him. The Lord is emotional about you. In Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit, when he intercedes for us, he intercedes with groanings. That's emotional. God is emotional about you. Doesn't that mean something to you? Let's come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace so that we might obtain mercy, find grace. So we go to the Lord. We say, Lord, I just wish that you would give me special consideration. I want to find your grace. Not that I deserve it, right? I just wish that you would give me your special consideration. And the Lord isn't all, like all business, all cerebral and hard and cold. He'll say, like, oh, you know, poor thing. Oh, I'm sorry for you. We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our problems. We have feelings, and he has feelings when we go to him, which is just so great, isn't it? It's not like he can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. And also, he's a kind father. Once again, in our worship segment, you're a good, good father. ask and it shall be given to you, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be open for everyone. Everyone who asks receives. That's what we love, right? Let's come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace that we may obtain grace. Let's find grace at the throne of grace because everybody who asks receives. Now, the Lord might not give you the specific grace that you prayed for, but everybody who asks receives. So let's do it. So let's come boldly because everyone who asks receives. And he that seeks finds, and him that knocks it shall be open. And then this, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask? So you're going to the throne of grace at which you have a high priest, Jesus. It's not like he can't be touched with the feeling of your problem. He feels for you. He honestly feels sorry for you. And you have a father who wants to say yes. He likes to give good gifts. So you got to go. You go to the throne of grace to find grace. And what is this place we are going to? What are we approaching? We're approaching the throne of grace. Throne has the idea of power, authority. You're the boss. Grace has the idea of kindness, love, affection, attention. In a really perfect world, the strongest person in the world would also be the most kind person in the world. And that's exactly where we are in the world of prayer. We're going to the strongest person in the world. We're going to the boss of the world, who's also the kindest person in the world. And we're saying, Lord, would you just let me be the target of your special favor because something's wrong? And it's not like he doesn't feel sorry for you. He does. So to the throne of grace we go. All right, just a few more conclusions then. Graces acquired at the throne of grace include every sort of answered prayer. Once you get this, this is, you know, a groundbreaking realization. Every sort of answered prayer is possible at the throne of grace. These graces are not available to the non-prayer. If you won't go to the throne of grace to find grace, then don't be surprised if you don't find grace. If we don't come to the throne of grace, we disqualify ourselves from certain graces that are reserved for those who do come. You see, don't think that grace is so passive, there's not one thing in the world you can do about it. That's not the way the Bible reads. If you want to find grace, you go to the throne. If you don't go to the throne, you can't find it. At least that's true of certain graces. We are not dealing honestly with the subject of grace if we suggest that the neglectful believer is bound to receive the same grace that the prayerful believer receives. So it doesn't matter if you live well or live badly. It makes no difference to God. He will send grace just because he's that kind of a gracious God. Well, there's no question that he is a very gracious God. But you remember that Peter taught us that our prayers would actually be hindered if we don't live well. So don't think everybody has the same grace, whether they live badly or live well. They have the same grace, whether they pray or do not pray. They have the same grace. That's simply not the way the New Testament reads. In eternity, we may find that many of our times of need were ungraced, in certain ways at least, simply because we never even prayed for grace. I was just thinking about some of these things in my own life, and I'm not going to belabor this, but I was thinking of prayed for graces that the Lord gave me and my family. All along the way, at every mile marker of our lives, I remember being like 15 years old. I worked at McDonald's for, I think, 2 days. I just hated it. I just hated it. And I applied for a rental store job because I could work on their rototillers and lawnmowers and chainsaws and weed eaters and all those things. And that's what I really loved. And I got that job. I remember thinking, that was so nice of the Lord to work that out for me. And I later worked at a motorcycle shop, which I just love. That is exactly the job I wanted. And at two times in my life, I really wanted a job at UPS while I was in college and while I was trying to do a ministry. And I got the UPS jobs. Like, that was just exactly what I wanted. All these nice things that happened to me. And a happy marriage. I'm so glad that God answered Teresa's prayers for a happy marriage. No, it's been so great. What a nice marriage. It was so nice of the Lord to work that out. And so many family happinesses and dear friends. And in, you know, my life, dear friends have included some people that have come to Jesus because of our friendship and some people who have sort of been apprentices to me because of our friendship. And the Avalon years, this has been great. You know, the Lord has just been great. And health, you know, I'm just so thankful that the Lord has given us the health that we have and financial breaks and luxuries. So many things all along the way. We just went and said, Lord, not that we deserve special attention, but would you mind giving us your special favor in this time of need? And then so many times that's the way it is. Thomas Sowell is one of my favorite political commentators. He just died. I'm so sad. But he had this saying. He said, people say, you're a very tough person. He says, I'm not tough. Life is tough. I'm merely trying to acquaint you with those facts. Life is tough. The great tragedy of your life might not be that your prayers weren't answered. The tragedy might be that you didn't even offer the prayers so that they could be answered. How awful. Life in this fallen world is really, really tough. It's true, it is tough. But then the Lord has these gifts and graces that are available to us that may be acquired if we go to him for these gifts and graces, if we appeal to God, not that I deserve it, Lord. He's touched with the feeling of our problem. He said, yeah, I'm going to help you out here. And he gives us grace. And some of these graces are never acquired simply because they were never prayed for. So here's the conclusion. We don't pray as well as we should. We don't pray as often as we should. But the grace we find, the grace we do find at the throne of grace is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Let's stand and be dismissed with prayer. Father, all of us right now in this closing prayer are coming to your throne of grace. We're coming as worshipers to your throne of grace because we would like to obtain mercy and find grace. If it pleases you, Lord, right now, as we get ready to exit this room, would you mind giving us special consideration for the thing that breaks our heart right now? For the thing that we've prayed for before because we know we really need you. And would you let your soft heart feel our problem and grant us some grace right this minute? We honestly think that everyone who asks receives. And so some grace is coming our way right this minute because of this prayer. And we thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name, amen.